broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Hour 2, as we break down the Supreme Court's historic ruling. I think I really believe it to be a historic ruling, because I think this ruling by the Supreme Court that makes this health care law constitutional is a milestone, unless, of course, future Supreme Courts disagree and vote it down or interpret it differently. And that's not unheard of in the history of this country. We've seen it happen with issues like separate but equal. We've seen it happen, with issues of integration, notably in the civil rights movement. So, I mean, a Supreme Court could come along later and say, nope, no, on second thought, but right now, this law is not only constitutional, but it's got at least one attorney general who had signed his name to the federal lawsuit against it, changing his mind, or maybe not so much changing his mind, as saying, okay, we did it. We filed the lawsuit. Guess what? We lost. Oh, well, I am going to now, as governor, he's running for governor, I'm going to support this law. And on top of that, he says, there are provisions that are really good. And that's a Republican attorney general running for governor, Rob McKenna, rather, of Washington. Larry Grover is on the line with me. We got some callers. We're going to continue with this. And Bobby Dooley is back with us. Bobby, and we've got a lot of noise going on. Where are you right now?
Yeah, Phil, I apologize. We are having the opening week of a summer-tacular event that we have here at Western States. But I wanted to address what Mr. Grover was saying, and I want to agree with him. First of all, the law of the health law is, I think it's unconstitutional. And now I know you would say, well, you're not a Supreme Court judge, so what are your credentials? Well, you know something, Phil? My credentials are that I'm an American. And I can read the Constitution as well as anybody. And I don't see anything in the Constitution that says our founding fathers intended for us to go to doctors for free. And
can I say something, Bill?
Go ahead. Larry Grover with us. Go ahead, Larry.
It's a good argument, I think, the lady's making, when you say that the Constitution is not mandating some of these things. And
I just want to add one thing, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
My father was a judge, briefly. And my father used to say that you have to temper your reason with common sense, so that you will see laws, and as a judge, you'll look at that law and you'll say, you know what, it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
Excuse me, just one other thought that I wanted to make.
Well, my guest is on here.
No, I understand, but I've been listening to your guest, and I don't really think he's been making the point very well, and you heard what this last man said.
Excuse me, but I think I am making the point very well, and I'm simply saying that the law, the health care law, I don't know what you mean by I'm not making the point very well. I think that I had been making the point well.
The last man that I heard talking on the Phil Hendry Show said that you didn't sound all that literate.
Well, I'm very sorry what he thinks. I could care less. I'm the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, ma'am. Are you the chairman of anything?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, are you the chairman of anything? It's, Larry, we don't want to get into this kind of thing.
I'll tell you what I am the chairman of. I'm the chairman of a parent-teacher organization.
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445. Let's get back to our callers here. This gentleman is hanging on. We've got Brandy, who is back on the line with us. Here is Doug. Go ahead, Doug. I apologize for putting you on hold.
Hey, that's all right. I want to apologize to you for my exuberance and my enthusiasm. I said I was going to try to speak my truth quietly and clearly. So, Larry, that goes to you and the rest of the audience, too. I wanted to first
talk
about...
Well, I don't know how you can say that.
Just let the gentleman finish, Larry, and we will hear from you and Ms. Dooley as well.
Yeah, well, Larry, I would ask you a question, and you can answer this one. Have you ever read the Constitution?
Of course, yes, I've read the Constitution. I've read large sections of it.
Good. I suggest you read it in its entirety again and again and again. You'll get a clearer understanding the more you read it. But secondly, I wanted to talk about taxation without representation. And, you know, the Supreme Court is kind of a, you know, it's like they operated under the color of law.
Hold on. Doug, because I can't hear a thing. Ms. Dooley, if you could back away from, I know you're in an outdoor setting.
Yes, sir.
All right, can you somehow find a quieter spot? Because
I apologize.
Go ahead, Doug.
Okay, yeah. You know, the Supreme Court kind of looks like they operated under the color of law instead of the rule or the rule of law, basically. And, you know, they kind of twisted some things in there, in my opinion, and I know that's my opinion, but I have read the Constitution for years and years a lot.
Are you trying to tell me you know more about it than a Supreme Court justice? Boy, have you got a pair on you.
Hold on now. Come on.
I'll tell you what.
This guy's coming and telling. Are you a judge?
No, and neither are you. What I'm trying to do is tell you my opinion, and I think there's a lot of people out there would agree with it. And you haven't displayed much knowledge of the Constitution, for instance, the Supreme Court, and how the guys are put in there and everything else. So let me have my speak.
Okay, you can.
I'm talking
about
taxation without representation.
You're talking like you're Oliver Wendell Holmes or something.
My goodness, you're talking like you're ignorant. Now, please let me have my say.
Okay, that's fine, but you're all telling me...
Will you let the man talk, please?
He doesn't want to because he doesn't have a good, honest, intelligent rebuttal. That's the problem. Anyway, and that's the big problem with the education system in our country. We have a populace that does not know and understand the liberties that are being taken from us, left and right, and... The taxation without representation that I've been trying to get into there, Phil, is that...
I got a bottle.
You know, what we have is, if you remember back when they were just about ready to vote on this Obamacare law, the switchboards in Congress were swamped. You couldn't get a call through. They couldn't... All the websites and stuff were just... They were crashing. And all these Democrats, mostly the Democrats, were in hiding. You could not get... them. And that was the people trying to tell them, hey, don't vote for this. We aren't in favor of it. And I think it was like, 70-some% that were against it. And they just went through and shoved it down our throats anyways. And here we're trying to do anything we can to try to stop it. Because our country's not going to look the same in 5 years if this it goes through.
Okay, Ms. Dooley, I've been listening to you talking through all of that.
I'm awfully sorry, Phil.
You got the phone right up to your mouth. I'm hearing you asking for cotton candy and for hot tamales. There's a man talking here. It's extremely rude. You wanted people to hear you. Mr. Grover, you want people to hear you, but you don't want to listen to this man.
I didn't say anything.
But the lady was talking.
Well, Phil, I'm talking to my husband.
That's fine. You can talk to your husband, ma'am, but it's right over the air. What Doug was saying...
Me.
People could hear you, Doug. I was being distracted by it.
Sorry.
See? People could hear. See? I told you. See?
Oh, God.
I'd like to rebut what the man said.
No, I don't think so, because the poor man didn't have a chance in hell. But I heard you, Doug, and my audience heard you, and I appreciate your call very, very much. And thank goodness for citizens like you, sir. Thank you, even though I don't necessarily agree with what he said.
That's very hypocritical, though, Mr. Hendry.
Why is that? Hold on for a minute. Excuse me, folks. I got a little bit of a tickle in my throat. Why is that hypocritical?
No, Mr. Can I say?
No, he's asking me. I think it's a little disgusting that you coughed into the microphone like that, because there'll be another talk show personality that'll be using it.
This is my studio. Nobody else uses this studio but me, so don't worry about it, Ms. Dooley.
Are you speaking to me with that?
Okay, you know what? I'm going to another call. I'm sorry, but I gave you a chance. Here is, Brandy's back. I'm sure she wants to rip me a new one. Go ahead, Brandy.
Yeah, well, she should.
Back to, it's a choice to see a doctor, yes. And if you don't want to see a doctor, why should you pay for health care? Answer me that.
Well, if you don't have a job, you're not paying for health. You don't understand. You see,
there's
this is one of the reasons the opposition to this law is based upon people not understanding. This law is for people that don't have enough money to have health. They're not paying. If you don't have any money, if you are indigent, if you have no health care at all, what this law is about is you can get health care. Yes, it's going to be covered by taxpayers, so on and so forth. with all due respect, Brandy, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know the law. You call in. You got an attitude about socialism. I can dig it. But just like that last caller said, man, you got to understand what it is you're talking about.
Mr. Henry, I think that is uncalled for. That's all uncalled for, the way you talk to that lady.
Well, I'm sorry, Brandy. I'm not trying to yell at you, but I'm telling you, if you have no money, if you're, that's what we're talking about, you ain't paying for anything. How are you going to pay for it?
They have Medicaid. What? They have Medicare. That's what they have those for. Okay?
Wait a minute.
That's exactly what those are for. People that work that
Medicaid and Medicare. Yes, that's true. But Medicaid and Medicare do not cover enough of the health care tab in this country when it comes to people that can't afford health care, because it's still costing this economy trillions of dollars every year. So it's Medicare and Medicaid. What?
Bill, what are you on the show, or what about me?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, we called in. And I want to say, first of all, that this lady's questions and comments are good. I don't understand her, but they're good. Okay?
There's truck drivers that work that don't have insurance because they don't want insurance. They don't want to have to pay for it. They don't want to see a doctor. They don't care.
Right, of course. Of course. But here's what happens. If they get into an accident, if they get sick, and then they you're certainly not trying to tell me that if they get sick, they stay away from a hospital and they just die. No, they wind up going to the hospital and they say, oh, I don't have insurance. Oh, gee, I guess somebody's got to pay for that. Guess who's paying for that, Brandy? That truck driver that you know who doesn't have any insurance.
Yeah.
Guess who's paying for his health care?
They are willing to pay for that without insurance. They choose to pay their bill.
Are they No. If he goes into the hospital and he's got a tab close to $1 million, and it does happen, don't tell me he's paying for that out of his savings, because he hasn't got that kind of money. That's a load of horse dung. What?
There's payment plans. There's indigent plans. There's all kinds of plans out there.
Yeah, guess what the indigent plan is? Guess what the indigent plan is dependent upon? The well-meaning taxpayers.
Really? Because there's charity out there.
Is there charity out there? Have you done the research? Do you know exactly what charity is out there and how much of it is dependent upon taxpayers? You don't know what you're talking about.
Mr. Henry, I think once again, you are letting your personal opinions destroy your radio show.
Okay, sorry. Sorry for having an opinion.
But Brandy, this is Larry Grover. We need people like you, and
you're just trying to suck up.
I worked in the medical field before. I know that they do charity.
Are you a doctor?
I did the billing for them.
That's good.
Yes.
We need people to bill. That's the problem. If we don't send out the bills, how are they going to pay for it?
Why don't you get out of here? Thank you very much, Brandy. Very good call. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show. I don't know why. I'm sorry.
You were very rude. And really, Phil, that's why you have your problems in life, because you beat people up, literally, physically. And I like to see it. It's exciting, and it's a sexual turn-on.
Get out of here. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Show.
877-876-7445. It is the world famous Phil Henry Show. We are talking about, and we're all done with Mr. Grover and Ms. Dooley.
Yeah, Daddy, I'm on the phone.
Well, thank them very much for me and on behalf of the show, bud, but we're all done with them. In any event, we have been talking about the health care law that was ruled constitutional by the United States Supreme Court today. What does all of this mean? Well, it means that this law, which has been debated by the American people for a number of years, it was passed in 2010, is now the law of the land, and the various attorney generals in the United States that had filed this lawsuit have been duly defeated. Now, how this thing is going to roll out, I don't know, and I wanted to bring on Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler is a doctor practicing in San Diego, California, to talk a little bit about it. Dr. Sadler has been on our program before discussing matters of health and science, and we're grateful to have him on here tonight. Jim Sadler with us. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, Phil, and thanks for inviting me on the program.
So do you, are you, you know, how familiar are you with this law?
Well, I'm familiar with it enough. I know that, you know, we will do our paperwork and the client, patient will do their paperwork. But I don't think we should get bogged down in talking about how it's going to work. I think we need only remember that it will work. And I say that as a doctor. I say that as a man who I'm supposed to not like this bill because it's going to be more difficult for me to get paid. And believe me, when I tell you that when it comes to my bills being paid on time, I am very, very much a stickler. I do an awful lot of work with people that are low income, and I'm very proud of that, but we still tell them to pay and pay on time. I don't see any difference between people that way. And
well, if you do a lot of work with people who are low income people, are you giving them a price break?
No, I'm not giving them a price break. What I'm giving them is quality health care service, and I expect to be paid on time. Now, you say, well, what break is a poor person getting or an indigent person? The fact that I'm treating them, you know.
Well, if you're a doctor and you've taken a Hippocratic oath.
If you're a doctor and you've taken a Hippocratic oath, of course you want to do everything in your power to help people that are not, you know, that are ill. That's for sure. But I want to be very clear. I don't have any problem with, and I think what I'm trying to say is I don't have a problem with the Obama health care bill because I get paid. So I don't understand these doctors who say they don't get paid.
So your patients are willingly paying, even though you're working with low income patients. Most of your patients, I would imagine, have insurance.
Well, yes, the middle class, the upper middle class have insurance. Sometimes, on a very rare occasion, some of them do pay out of pocket. No, I'm talking about the ones that are low income.
And what do you call low income? Is it poverty level?
It's the low income because of where I'm located. Unfortunately or fortunately, the low income people that I see in my practice, anybody that makes less than $100,000 a year.
Wow, families?
No, individuals. So a family, we're talking, and I know that it sounds strange, but you have to understand I practice in a very high income area. So a low income family is $200,000 or less.
But you describe these people as indigent.
Well, relatively speaking, yes. They are very much a low-income situation. They're embarrassed. They are very much outcasts in their community.
They've got $200,000 a household, and they are outcast and embarrassed.
Well, Phil, as crazy as it sounds, but that's the community that I live in. And so that's why I can say to them, you're going to pay me up front, or, as I said to a lady last week, and I do talk this directly, and forgive me, but I said, you're going to pay me up front, or you can have your baby out in the alley. I don't care.
And you're kidding me. You can't. You're talking to a pregnant woman that way?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, because they don't have insurance.
$200,000 a household, no insurance. Unbelievable.
Yeah, can you believe it? Can you believe it? So I don't have a problem with this, and I don't know what Obama's trying to do, or what he isn't trying to do. He can do whatever he wants, and he can make this, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I don't have a problem getting paid. Because when I say to a mother who comes in for prenatal care and wants her baby delivered in a safe and in a healthy manner, but she's given me a tap dance about how it's going to get paid, I just simply say to her, you can pay me, or you can have your baby in the back seat of a truck. Doesn't matter to me.
Back seat of a truck?
With the bed of the truck. Well, you don't have to play it back to me. You know what I mean.
No, I understand. All right, our number is 877-876-7445. Dr. Jim Sadler with us. Your attitude, sir, is a little on the callous side.
I think it's realistic.
Right, I understand that, but it's very callous, and I know that it takes into consideration the fact that, it's an expensive service, health care. A lot of people can't afford it, but you seem to have the attitude that that's too bad. You want my service, you're going to pay for it. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with Dr. Jim Sadler and your phone calls.
We don't kick Jim Sadler downtown. No way.
Phil Hendry.
Dr. Jim Sadler is with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, talking to us from San Diego about the health care plan. I was talking to Dan during the break about boats.
Phil, I heard a little bit about what you were saying, you were talking about wanting to get a runabout or
just some mid-sized boat to just go out here in the channel and...
And I think Dan probably told you they've had some that are priced anywhere $49,000, $50,000 on up. You can do that. You had a boat in Miami.
I had access to a boat in Miami, and I on Friday nights would take it on the Intercoastal Canal.
And I lived in Miami, and I had a boat there too. What I would do is a lot of times Phil would take it and literally cover the strait between Key West and Miami all the way down to Cuba. There was a doctor friend of mine that had a home on the northern coast of Cuba. I can't tell you where because it's a little bit of a...
It was a secret?
A little bit, yeah, because, you're running along the Cuban coast there, and the Cuban Coast Guard, unless they have been alerted, and this particular man had contacts within the Cuban Coast Guard, which allowed us access to this home where we would go and have dinner, and I would take my girlfriend, at the time my girlfriend, now she's my wife, Brandy, And we would go and have dinner and then come back at night. And it was beautiful to cover the 90 miles. You could do 90 miles in a boat that I had, a V-bottom. And I had twin, 600-horsepower Evinrude engines.
So you're just cutting between Miami and Cuba, huh?
Oh, yeah. And when you said you saw the beautiful skyline,
It's funny. Did you remember the movie Miami Vice?
I do remember I remember Miami Vice.
Did you ever see the movie?
I did. Yes.
There's a scene in that movie where the character played by Colin Farrell, Sonny Crockett, is literally in a speedboat going between Miami and Cuba. I think.
So it's been done. Let's cut the baloney here. Are you trying to say that that's where I came up with this?
No, I'm not saying that.
Well, that's what you're saying, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, what do you mean the Cuban Coast Guard was paid off?
I got in a powerboat and went to Cuba and had dinner with...
Was the guy a drug dealer?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Okay, so that means yes. So that... pretty much parallels everything.
No, it doesn't mean yes. No, it doesn't.
That pretty much parallels everything that was in the movie.
No, it doesn't, because I didn't go down there with a... Excuse me for saying, my understanding was Mr. Crockett went... In the movie, he went down there with a... she looked like a South American, right?
It was a young lady who was... The character was some South American drug dealer that he was taking to dinner at her place down in Cuba, yeah.
Well, I didn't go down there with a South American. I went down there with a white woman. And
okay, I'm not... I just asked the question...
You made an accusation, sir, that I lifted my whole story about going to Cuba in a powerboat with my wife-to-be, and
is this the racial the racial tone of this conversation? Is this a problem that you've got?
It's a problem I've got.
You don't like dark-skinned people?
I don't have any problem with any human being, but my wife, Brandy, is a white woman. That's all I'm trying to say. And
well, excuse me for bringing up Miami Vice and the fact that he went to Cuba with a South American woman.
Well, it leaves the impression in the listeners. Never mind. Yeah.
Boy, this is talk about nitpicking.
I didn't bring it up, sir.
And yes, you did, because I was talking to Dan during the break. I wasn't talking to you.
Right, and I wanted to come in, Phil, and tell you about Miami because I used to work there.
So now you're going to cry.
Blame me?
All right, I apologize. I didn't mean to upset you, Dr. Sadler. I simply said that everything...
I heard what you said. You said everything that I said was in the movie Miami Vice, so I must have gotten it from there, and I'm a phony because I've never taken a boat. Pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a phony because I've never taken a boat to Cuba.
And okay, and you have?
Yes, I have. And it wasn't exactly like the way I said. And
okay, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Is that all right?
Well, now it makes me sound like a loser.
Well, you know, I got to move on with the health care situation here. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Lloyd. Hey, Lloyd, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, Mr. Hendry, you know, I'm enjoying very much this conversation you're having tonight, because this guy you've got on the phone is the epitome of every liberal doctor that I've ever heard. He claims to support the Obama health care law, but in point of fact, he has a gun to the head of these people that come to his office so that they must pay their bill or they have their baby in an alley. And you call that helping indigent people. Is that right, sir?
I am servicing my community, sir, to the best of my ability.
But you didn't answer my question. You said what you said you got to put it.
Calm down. Take a deep breath.
You didn't answer my question, sir. You said that the woman can deliver the baby in the flatbed of a truck. Didn't you say that?
I said the back seat.
And Mr. Hendry pointed out there is no back seat in a truck.
There is in an extended cab.
Well, yeah, okay.
Oh, well, that's nitpicking. The fact of the matter is, she's not going to be having her baby in any back seat. She's going to have her baby out in a field somewhere or on a frontage road.
It may well be, sir, which is my prerogative.
And you don't even sound like, you know what you sound like? You sound like a guy who operated on his, it sounds like you had cancer of the tongue and you operated on yourself.
You are very smart-assish, sir.
I'm smart-assish, huh?
Yes, and the reason why I have a speech impediment is from an animal training accident. I didn't do it.
Sounds to me like you did self-surgery on your mouth, and the mirror fogged up.
Are you trying to be funny, or because you're not?
I think I am.
All right, let's not do the jokes here. What is the point?
Mr. Hendry, the point that I'm making is that this doctor said that unless poor women pay, they can have their baby in an alley. And this guy claims to be a liberal supporting the Barack Obama health care initiative. I've got more compassion in my heart, and I am a stone-cold conservative. I've been known to throw food out a window right in front of poor people and yell out the window, "You see that? That could have been yours if you worked for a day."
What is that? I don't understand. What does that mean?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. What does that mean, you throw food out a window?
When I pull up to an intersection and I see the poor people panhandling or the day laborers, I'll take a plate that I've gotten from La Victoria or Fresh Salsa or, one of those places, and I'll see, you see this? See this? This is Chili Relleno. Now watch, and I'll throw it in the street. And I'll say, I would have given that to you had you been gainfully employed.
What's the point if you're not gainfully employed? Why do you want to do that for?
What's that? I didn't understand you, lips.
All right, Phil. I've had quite enough of the insults tonight.
Okay, look, I'll let Dr. Sadler go.
Sure. Let him go after the man is not able to answer the question on whether or not I'll answer your question, and I have far more compassion for people than you do, sir. When a poor woman comes to my office and she is in need of medical services, I will perform those medical services without charge. But if she's asking me to deliver her baby, it's cash on delivery. I'm sorry. Okay?
What services are you performing for her other than the baby?
If the woman wants to come in and she is requesting a procedure that will alleviate the need for me to deliver the baby.
You talking about an abortion?
No, I am not talking about an abortion.
You most certainly are talking about an abortion. I just heard you.
Now, hold on. No, I'm not, Mr. Henry. I'm talking about a procedure that alleviates the need for me to deliver the baby.
He's talking abortion, Mr. Henry.
That's an abortion.
I did not say it was an abortion. I'm not going to... I'm sorry. It's not an abortion.
Well, what are you terminating her pregnancy?
I am. If you want to get the wax out of your ears...
The wax is out of my ears, sir. Maybe you, like I said, if the mirror hadn't fogged up, you might have put your tongue back in straight and I could understand you.
You know what? You can go straight down to the devil.
The what? To the devil. The devil?
All right, I hung up on both of those guys because they were giving me a headache.
Bing said go straight down on a devil.
He didn't say go straight down on a devil. Get out of here. That's Dr. Jim Sadler, our caller. Although I would really like the answer to that question, what does he mean he would perform a procedure that would alleviate the need for him to deliver the baby?
That sounds like abortion to me.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And yet, every time I asked him, I said, that's an abortion. No, that's not an abortion. You know something, man? I think we just had on the line there Dr. Vibes. You remember that cat, that Vincent Price movie we saw, Bud?
Yeah, the amazing Dr. Vibes.
Yeah, that's what I think we had there. I think if we met Dr. Sadler and we somehow were able to, you know, crack the wax mask he's wearing, I bet you he's got some kind of a hideously scarred eminence there behind it. 877-876-7445. We'll conclude our discussion of, although I think we concluded our discussion of healthcare somewhere back when Lloyd said to Jim, you sound like you performed your own oral surgery or something like that.
Yeah, I took a tumor out of his old mouth.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is a bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Boy. Oh, man, where I've ribbon give.
What?
Nothing.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We are pleased to bring on Don Berman now. Don is the Channel 19 anchor, and he does three news reports a night, and you've been very much involved in the reporting on the healthcare debate, Don, as well as it's finding its way along the corridors of power in America to the Supreme Court of the United States. And after all of this and after today's vote, what do you think?
Well, Phil, I'm amazed, and I will always be amazed at the American process, the American way of life, the way that we bring things about in this country. We don't always agree, but we are always, I think we're always eminently fair, and we do, when we have these disputes, we will refer them ultimately and defer them ultimately to our Supreme Court of the United States. I think the Supreme Court has spoken. I think they have said very clearly, remember that one of their assenting members was a very conservative judge, Justice John Roberts, appointed by George Bush, and so they have said very clearly that the health care law is constitutional, and I think in mass they have said, get out of the way, conservative America, step aside. because a new America is emerging, and this is one in which you conservatives either get out of the way or you're going to get knocked down and dragged behind a very fast roadster called Future America. And when I say knocked down and dragged, I mean dragged until your body comes apart.
Okay, whoa, 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 man. God, what are you? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What do you mean, whoa, 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 whoa?
That is the most violent image.
Well, Phil, I think we've had a contentious debate, and the American people have spoken.
No, the American people have not spoken. The Supreme Court of the United States has spoken on behalf of the Constitution of the United States. That's the difference.
What do you mean that's the difference?
That's the difference between an election, between the will of the people, because there's one thing that it has to be checked against. It's not checked against an imam. It's not checked against a king. We don't have to consult with the spiritual leader, Ayatollah Jack Hola. What we got to do is make sure that it is constitutional. We have a document. We have a law. We don't have a man. We have a law, a series of laws.
Well, I can only do, Phil, what I heard earlier in the program. Hey. You happy? Now you can run for dog catcher. Phil, you know, all I'm saying...
No, not all you're saying. Not all, because you'll get dragged behind the roadster of Future America. Let me tell you what, my man. This is a law like any other law. And in this case, this law was extremely controversial. And there was a lawsuit. And it was filed on behalf of the people of various states. And it was brought forth by the attorney generals. It was a pretty heavy confrontation. And the Supreme Court of the United States, that's where these things... Is it constitutional? We already heard from the people. And as close as it was, the people, by way of their representatives, said, we want this law.
A lot of people would beg to differ with you.
I don't care if they differ with me. According to our laws, the Congress spoke, the people spoke. Now it goes to the Constitution. Now it goes to the Supreme Court because there was a challenge to its constitutionality. So those conservative attorney generals were doing exactly what any other attorney general or any other citizen might do of any political persuasion. Those conservative attorney generals were saying, we know what the elected legislature said, but is it constitutional? We don't think it is. We want it to be struck down on constitutional grounds.
Well, then that's even all the better, because then you can say, look at the conservatives striking down the will of the people. And that's what I think was attempted here. And
you're way off base. It's not. That's not the point. The point is, whether they're conservative attorney generals or not, they went to the...
You don't even know what you're talking about. You're so slap-happy, you haven't gotten any sleep. You're mumbling, stumbling.
I know what I'm talking about, and I'm saying that they went to the Supreme Court of the United States to test the constitutionality, and they found that, yes, indeed, it's constitutional. Here is Miriam. Miriam, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you, Miriam?
Hello, Miriam.
Fine. My comment is, I think this health care thing is going to help a lot of people. Some people had a pre-existing condition and they couldn't even get their private insurance. Now this is going to help them to get insurance at least.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can't be denied because of your
pre-existing
condition.
Exactly. I do not understand everything about this health care issue, but I do know that, you know, in the past, people with a pre-existing condition, such as cancer or whatsoever, they lost their job, and they couldn't even get insurance, private insurance. I'm talking about, and also the insurance companies are really ripping the people off. And most of the time, this Republican are really, I mean, they don't care for the big people. They just already care about the money in their pockets.
I agree with, first of all, I agree with you, Miriam, on your view that this health care bill is good. I disagree with you when you say that Republicans don't care about, the Republicans care about people, but they're different voters from you and me. They are voters who tend to like the idea that the government stays out of their pocket. And so when you say money, I think Republicans always traditionally sort of represented small business owners or employers. Don, would you agree?
Well, first of all, I want to say to Miriam that I agree 100% with her that this is a historic vote. And as far as Republicans, I said what I said, and Phil, you were upset with me. I said the Republicans need to get out of the way or they're going to get their belt caught on the rear fender.
Yeah, the dragster that's going to drag them. Yeah, I heard that.
All right. I think the lady is absolutely right. Republicans and conservatives, and maybe that's why they're called conservatives, that we check that we need that in our country. We need conservative people to say, slow down. But in this case, we've slowed down long enough. You just said that Otto Bismarck introduced it. Oh, well, okay. Okay, William Buckley.
Go ahead, Miriam.
Can I mention one more thing? I wish one day we would be just like Germany, you know, England, or, you know, Canada, have insurance without even worrying about, you know, paying or not paying, not being able to pay. I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping one day.
I think that they, even in Canada, you are paying taxes for that national health care, but they've got a pretty good. I got
to
take a break. I appreciate your call, though, Miriam, very, very much. I'm sorry we didn't have more time for you. We'll be back next hour. It's our News and Information Hour with me, Phil Henry, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard, and maybe Don Berman will be back. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh boy, well, that's all for me, huh?
Yep. Because you blew it with introduced it.
Phil Henry.
I'd say introduced it.